All right, so we're diving back into Maruso's Ultimate Guide to Annual Business Planning on LinkedIn.
Okay.
We really flew through part one, setting the stage, vision and strategy, all that good stuff.
Right.
And now part two is where the rubber meets the road, right? Turning that big picture into actionable steps.
Yeah.
And there's this one concept that I don't know, just grabs you. BHAs.
Big, hairy, audacious goals.
Yes. I kind of love the name, to be honest.
That's a good one.
It's so catchy, but it's more than just a catchy name,
Oh,
right?
absolutely.
The article connected back to Jim Collins' Good to Great.
Right.
And it seems like BHAs are all about going beyond those like small incremental goals, the kind we often get stuck setting,
Absolutely. It's about pushing boundaries, aiming for those breakthroughs, Like,
Okay.
think about Netflix.
Okay.
They went from mailing DVDs, right,
Uh-huh.
to completely changing how we watch movies with streaming.
Why,
That's a
right?
BHAG in action.
That's huge.
It's that kind of thinking, that transformative thinking that we're talking about.
Okay, so not just increasing sales by 10% next quarter.
Yeah.
This is bigger.
Way bigger.
This is like reshaping your whole business, maybe even a whole industry.
Exactly.
So thinking bigger, way bigger than we're used to. But how do we even start? Like, how do you define a BHAG?
Well, the article points out three core elements. First is ambition, right? It has to be bold, maybe even a little scary,
Okay.
but it still has to be actually possible.
We're not talking about like, fantasy land here.
No, we're talking about grounded in reality. Second, it's got to connect with your long-term vision, which we talked about in part one.
Right.
And then finally, BHAGs, they're long-term, we're talking years, not months.
Years. Okay.
Out here.
So, like the example from the article, the Environmental Restoration Company,
Right.
if their vision is to be the leader in the Southwest, their BHAG could be something like, by 2030, we're the go-to for 70% of municipalities and commercial buildings in the Southwest.
Exactly. Ambitious, lines up with their vision, clear time frame, that's it.
Okay, but how do you actually even start on something that big? Like, that just seems so overwhelming.
Yeah, and that's where it gets really interesting.
Okay, tell me more.
So, how do we take this huge goal and make it actionable?
Yeah, break it down for me.
The article introduces this idea of breaking down your BHAG into smaller goals, 3 AGs, 1 HIGs, and QHAGs.
Okay, so many acronyms. I love it.
Right.
Walk me through those, though.
Okay, so a 3HAG, it stands for 3-year highly achievable goal.
Okay.
You're basically taking that big BHAG and bringing it down to 3 years, like a stepping stone.
Okay.
So for our environmental company, a 3AG could be, say, they want to expand their market share to 40% by the end of 2026.
Okay, so still
Oh,
ambitious,
yeah.
but it feels a little more doable.
Definitely.
Okay, but that's just the first step. Then what?
Then we've got the 1 HIG, the 1 year highly achievable goal.
Okay.
This is all about the current year. What's the one big thing you have to get done this year to stay on track?
To hit that 3-year goal.
Exactly. So maybe for them, it's winning contracts in 15 new municipalities, something like that.
Okay, I see it. I see it. Like a roadmap forming here.
Right.
All right, break it down even more. What's next?
Next, we've got QHAs, quarterly highly achievable goals,
Okay.
bite-sized pieces to keep everyone focused each quarter.
Love it.
So to get those 15 new contracts, maybe their Q2 QHAG is to sign 5 new municipalities.
So it's like this cascading effect.
Yes.
This big, hairy, audacious goal gets broken down and broken down until it's like, okay, we can actually do this.
And it keeps everyone moving in the right direction.
Yes.
But achieving those goals, whether they're big or small, means you have to clear the path.
Okay.
And that's where the stop doing list comes in.
Ooh, okay. Tell me more.
This is huge. So many times, businesses, even just people, we get bogged down in stuff that doesn't actually matter.
Yes.
Like we're afraid to say no.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Those meetings that could have been emails,
Yes.
or those projects that just keep dragging on, and you're like, what are we even doing here?
Exactly.
I am
Exactly.
so guilty of
The
this.
stop doing list. It forces you to be ruthless, to decide what you can get rid of to free up time and energy for the stuff that actually
Okay,
matters.
yes, the stop doing list. It's about decluttering, right?
It is.
To make space for those BHAs.
Exactly.
But how do we even know what to put on the list? What needs to go?
Well, the article gives these 4 steps. They're really good.
Okay.
It starts with looking at what you're already doing, your processes, all your tasks.
Okay.
You have to be really honest.
With yourself.
Yeah, is this actually adding value or are we just wasting time and money?
So it's not just about those big time wasters, the obvious ones.
Right.
It's like, questioning everything.
Everything.
And asking, is this helping us get to our goals?
That's the question.
Because sometimes it's the things we've always done that are the hardest to let go of.
Oh, absolutely.
That's where step two comes in, right?
Yeah, finding those hidden distractions.
Right.
The meetings that could have been emails, the reports that no one reads, those projects that have just lost their way.
Oh, man. I'm starting to sweat thinking about all the things that should be on my own stop doing list.
I think we all are.
Yeah, probably.
But it's also about challenging assumptions. That's step three.
Okay.
Just because something worked before doesn't mean it's the best way now.
Right. The world changes. We change.
Everything changes.
We have to adapt.
Exactly. And finally, I think this is so important. Step four, you have to ask your team.
Oh, get their input.
Yes. They're the ones on the front lines. They see what's not working, what's slowing things down.
They have insights that we might not even think of.
All the time.
So like for our environmental company, a stop doing item could be they stop going after those small residential clients.
Right.
Because their BAG is all about those big municipal contracts.
Exactly. Perfect example.
Or maybe they're doing all these weekly reports that no one even reads.
Oh, yeah.
Get rid of those. Free up some time.
Exactly. That's the idea.
Okay. Stop doing lice lists. That's going on my to-do list.
Good.
But let's switch gears a little.
Okay.
The article also talks about SMART goals.
Yes.
I've heard of those, but I'm not sure I totally get it.
It's a classic framework, and for good reason.
Okay.
SMART goals, it's about making sure your goals are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound.
Okay, so each of those words means something. It's not just a random acronym.
No, no, they're all important. They help you turn an idea into something you can actually achieve.
So specific, what does that really mean?
Okay, so instead of saying increase sales.
Right, that's vague.
Very vague. A specific goal would be like increase sales of our eco-friendly cleaning product by 15% in the next quarter.
Oh, okay. I see.
It's clear. There's no confusion.
No more guessing.
Exactly.
Okay, what about measurable?
This is all about tracking your progress. Can you actually measure it? Can you see if you're on track?
If you can't measure it, you can't manage it, right?
Yeah, it's the same, yeah.
So for our environmental company, a measurable goal could be secure contracts with at least 5 new municipalities by the end of Q2.
Perfect. You can count the contracts. Easy to track.
Okay, I'm getting it.
All right. How about achievable?
Right.
We want to be ambitious, for sure.
True for the moon, right.
For BAJs, yes. But for these everyday goals, we need to be realistic.
Okay, so find that balance between challenging and actually doable.
Exactly. And then there's relevance. This is about making sure your goals actually matter for your overall strategy.
So it all ties back to those BHAs.
It all connects.
I love it.
And lastly, time-bound deadlines. They're our friends.
They keep us on track.
They create urgency, accountability.
So instead of saying we want to grow our social media presence.
Right. Too broad.
A time-bound goal would be we will increase our Instagram followers by 20% by the end of the year.
There you go. Specific and time-bound.
Okay, so smart, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-bound.
That's it.
It seems simple, but it's powerful.
Right, it can make all the difference.
Yeah, I'm realizing a lot of us, we set these vague goals.
We do.
The smart framework forces us to be really clear.
Strategic.
Yes. Even with SMART goals, how do we make sure we actually stay on track? Because things change, right?
All the time. And that's where the article talks about regular reviews, continuous improvement.
So we can't just set a goal and forget about it.
No way.
We have to keep checking in.
See what's working, what's not, and adjust.
That's where the Shewhart cycle comes in, right?
Yes.
I have to admit, I don't really know that one.
It's a cycle for continuous improvement.
Okay.
And it's actually pretty simple. Plan, do, check, act.
Okay.
You plan what you're going to do, you do it, you check the results, and then you make changes based on what you learned.
So it's a feedback loop.
Exactly.
We're always learning and improving.
That's the mindset.
And that connects to the article's point about being open to feedback.
Right. Right. Absolutely. From our team, our customers, even our competitors.
Wow. Okay.
Feedback can be so valuable. It helps you see things differently.
Find those blind spots.
Yes. And it's not about getting defensive.
Right. No one likes criticism.
It's about using it to grow.
Okay. So feedback is a tool.
It is.
And it doesn't have to be complicated, right?
No, just regular check-ins, maybe some surveys, even just reading online reviews.
So many ways to get feedback.
There are.
And make changes along the way.
That's continuous improvement.
Okay, and technology can help with all this, right?
Absolutely. We have so much data now.
Sometimes it feels like too much data.
It can.
So how do we use technology without getting overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's a balance, for sure.
Yeah.
We want to use all this cool technology, but not lose sight of the human side of things, you know? Like innovation and connection.
So using data to make decisions, not just letting the data make all the decisions for us.
Exactly. And speaking of collaborating, the article mentions strategic partnerships, which I think is really interesting.
Ooh, tell me more about that.
It's about realizing you don't have to go it alone. Collaborating with other companies can open up new opportunities, you know, new markets, new skills, new resources. It could be really hard to get those on your own.
It's like two heads are better than one. But like on a bigger scale.
Exactly. Like Spotify and Uber, they partnered up to give people a better music experience while they're writing, and it helped both of them. That's strategic partnering.
It's like finding that win-win for everyone. But you don't want to partner with just anybody, right?
You got it. The article really stresses that. You need to find partners whose values and goals match up with yours.
So finding people who complement what you're good at and help you fill in the gaps that you have to reach those BHEs. I love it.
And it all goes back to that continuous improvement idea we've been talking about. You set your goals, you find your partners, and then you're always looking at how things are going and making changes when you need to.
This has been such a great deep dive. Yep. So much to think about. So as we're wrapping up, what are some of the key takeaways for our listeners?
You know, we covered a lot today, but the main message is success isn't just about setting goals. It's about having a system to actually achieve them. It's about setting those big, audacious BHHs, yes, but also breaking them down into smaller steps, using tools like SMART goals, and always being willing to adjust, and of course, embracing those stop doing lists to get rid of the things that are in the way.
I'm feeling so motivated now. I have a lot more clarity and some practical tools to actually tackle the goals I've been thinking about.
That's what we like to hear. And remember, this isn't just about business planning. You can use these principles anywhere in your life, whenever you're setting goals. Whether it's writing a book, running a marathon, learning a new language, it all comes down to having a clear vision, a plan, and the flexibility to adapt.
So if you're feeling inspired, tell us about it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to stop doing to make room for your BHAs? Share your thoughts, share your goals, share your stop doing lists. Let's keep this conversation going.
Until next time, keep diving deep.